Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Letting your eyes close if that feels comfortable. Imagine with me that these words are being spoken silently in your own mind, or words similar to them. Know with me that there is only one creative power active in all of creation, the living Spirit Almighty. This one is in and through all that is. We call it the first cause of all that is seen and all that is yet to be seen. It, this power, is forever creating from itself, and I and we are part of its creative process. Though I speak in the first person, I speak for all who identify with this word. Through my freedom, creativity, choice, and vision, I am contributing to the direction that creation flows. As a steward of the community of the Center for Spiritual Living, I open my consciousness to the flow of this one creative power through me. Its infinite wisdom guides me. Its dynamic love inspires me. I am remembering right now that the work of our center, which in itself is an idea born in the mind of the Creative One, has already touched the lives of thousands of people, and that the teaching, support, and generosity and ministries ripple out into the world, even now changing more and more lives for the good. I accept for our center and its community a new wave of enthusiasm, engagement, and growth. And I know that the center is right now attracting the right people to join with the vision of our community, and that a new light is being held up like a lamp to guide our way. This prayer, the spiritual mind treatment, functions then like a magnetic field that draws us to each other, the established community, and also draws to us those who are already seeking a spiritual home. The consciousness with which I am thinking into is the same consciousness that they, whoever they are thinking into when perhaps they wonder what is next for them. Today, I particularly call into my heart the inhabitants of the Joe Rodota Trail, our neighbors. I trust my heart's direction when it comes to supporting people, to growing my consciousness, to deepening my compassionate heart. I trust my intuitive connection to the divine when deciding what is to be done. I trust my vision to lead me with every step. Oh, and I trust the creative process that is even now flowing through these words into form. Having set forth this idea into divine mind in the form of this heartfelt treatment, I now know it is time to release it and to accept the results as if it were already established. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. I rejoice in what we have done in mind in this moment. And I rejoice in the good pleasure that there is to deliver to us that which we have prayed on. And together we say, and so it is. Let the next breath you take be deep like this. Let's sigh. Let us thank our musicians for setting us up so beautifully for this morning. Across the Highway 12 out there, last week bushes and growth were cleared away, and now the unsheltered encampment can be seen in its stark reality. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago the organization Giving in Kind, which if you go to that site and search for Santa Rosa, you'll find Sonoma County Acts of Kindness, where they have an online organization schedule for meal drop-offs for the unsheltered. And so individuals and faith communities are signing up to feed people. And it turns out that there are over 170 inhabitants. And for one person to think about feeding so many people, that can be overwhelming. Not only that, in our county, there is much disagreement about how to address not only Joe Redota Trail, but the unsheltered in our county. Now, whatever your position is on the unsheltered, whether you think the city or faith communities or individuals ought to do something about it, or whether you think, like many people do, that unfunded, understaffed agencies should be supported in doing the work that they are skilled to do, let's put that aside for a moment and take into our heart the fact that they are here, almost on our doorstep. Now, I understand the frustration and pushback from concerned people about the potential of supporting an unsustainable situation. I, too, have conflicted feelings from having our property broken into, having bikes and statues stolen from our center, and then retrieving them from the very encampment. We are impacted too, and it's happening right here on our doorstep. I'm a cyclist, like I see some of my cyclist friends out here, and I have had objects thrown at me on that very trail. I don't ride it anymore. And still, I can't do nothing. I can't ignore the science of my own principles. I can't ignore the science of my own principles that I've learned at the center. I learned here a little phrase, you may remember it, goes like this. Principle is not bound by precedent. And in this case, it suggests to me that I ought not to let my past wounding influence my current decisions or control my future actions. I'm thinking of the lyrics of the song that Chris sang to us several weeks ago, Janet Danfield. I cannot do all the good that the world needs me to do, but the world needs all the good that I can do. So although we do not know what the physical solution is, we are nevertheless going to claim a spot on that online planner and feed some people. We're going to begin today by collecting donations of money. We're not collecting anything else. And what's lovely about our center is if you don't want to be part of it, you just don't have to be, and nobody is going to be judged about whether they participate or not. If you want a more hands-on engagement, I don't recommend taking it on by yourself. You can put your name down on the sign-up sheet on the social hall, and we will contact you with ways to participate with others, coordinated by people who are close to the project and know their way around that. Now, some people say that partnering with severely underfunded and understaffed community agencies is the way to go because they have familiarity with the population. They say this is the best way to go. And if you've been hanging out here at the center, you know we already have a history of supporting nonprofit organizations doing work in the world that we are not skilled to do ourselves. We've been doing that for 16 years. Now, some people are concerned that the issues such as severe addictions to methamphetamine and mental illnesses cannot be solved easily with haphazard goodwill and volunteerism, that in fact it might cause things to get worse. Some people are concerned that generosity and compassion will be taken advantage of by people who are not motivated to leave the encampment. Nevertheless, there are people who are living on that trail who are not addicts and who are not criminals, but who have been caught in life traps that are difficult to escape from. Now, if you've ever been low on resources and somebody helped you out, you already know the power of loving kindness. I've never been homeless, but I have lived very close to the edge of not having enough to pay for anything more than my rent. And that was terrifying. Had it not been for the kindness of others and for what I learned in the Hollywood Church of Religious Science, who knows what might have become of me. One project that is worth mentioning and it's very inspiring to me is SAVS, SAVS. It stands for Sonoma Applied Villages Services. Their motto is shelter with dignity. They're working in encampments throughout the county to provide as much basic stability as they can and to provide services such as case management, donation distribution, wellness checks, basic applications for such things as ID and social security, connecting people to other services for veterans and for women's support. And I believe it is that organization that made it possible for the porta potties to appear on the trail and to help address the very serious issue of sanitation. Now, SAVS can be found at sonomavillages.org. I mention them because if you are called to make a cash donation today in the social hall, we will receive that and then we will schedule what we're going to do with it in the weeks to come, including funding agencies that are doing the work and providing food. We will not be accepting donations of any other kind. Depending on what we receive, we'll determine what we're going to be doing. We will not be putting our name on the schedule as the Center for Spiritual Living does something, because we do not seek any acclaim for doing the work that we will be doing. That's all. Now, last week, we began exploring the variety of different ways that other faith traditions celebrate holy days, because there seems to be a concentration of celebrations around this time of the year. And we started with the Buddhist celebration of Rohatsu, which concludes today. And that's why we left the statue of Buddha up on the stage. Today we are learning more. We are going to turn our attention to Kwanzaa, which is a pan-African holiday celebrated, the estimate is millions of people throughout the world, African community. This holiday starts later on in the year. It's the day after Christmas and continues through to the 1st of January. And it has at its heart a way to bring African Americans together through celebration, celebrating certain principles or values. Now, the way of it is that each family may celebrate Kwanzaa in its own unique way, just like Christian families celebrate Christmas in their own unique way. Typically, however, is that on each of the 7 nights of Kwanzaa, a family would gather, and if a child is present, the child will light one of the 7 candles, and then that will be followed by a discussion of the value for that evening, and poetry perhaps, dance and music, and most certainly there is eating. The principles are unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. Tonight at 7 p.m., the Sunday Conversation Group is discussing Kwanzaa in more detail, taking time to unpack all of the elements and symbols that are part of the celebration. Here is a picture, it's already there, of the candelabra and of some of the items that are typical on a Kwanzaa celebration table. Peggy Weber, who was the practitioner this morning, will be leading the discussion tonight in room 11 to review the tradition, and she invites you to participate. Now, I want to point out something, that Peggy and I are neither Buddhist, nor are we African American. So we approach these celebrations with the respect of someone from the outside looking in with a heart to learn. And nothing could be more science of mind than having a heart to learn. Our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, was of the opinion that we could learn something from all and any faith tradition. From all philosophies, from new findings in science, so that we could continue growing and adapting and evolving. He did not claim that this science of mind, that it was the ultimate answer to all of life's questions. Apparently, he said of the science of mind, "This is my revelation, not yours," meaning we were to find our own. And not make of him something larger than life. He was encouraging us to keep on seeking and growing ourselves. He emphasized that our movement ought to always remain open at the top for new insights. I'll let him say it in his own words. The science of mind is not a special revelation of any individual. It is, rather, the culmination of all revelations. We take the good wherever we can find it, making it our own insofar as we understand it. The realization that good is universal and that as much good as any individual is able to incorporate in their lives is theirs to use. And this is what constitutes the science of mind and spirit. Which is why he said, when we are among Christians, we are Christians. When we are among Buddhists, we are Buddhists. Wherever we go, we take the good that we can find and incorporate it. So that's why we are explorers, like he was. And you know, when he was an explorer, there was no internet. You know, when he was forming this idea, the science of mind, there was not much access to other spiritual and cultural traditions. And my guess is that if he were alive today, he would be even more inclusive and more curious and more expansive. Now, we have access to so much more that it can be overwhelming, and it's another reason why I cherish the center so much. It's my go-to place to learn about such things as Kwanzaa and Ruatsu and to practice and expand and experiment and grow. Someone who learned that the center we were going to be talking about, Kwanzaa and science of mind, said to me, "Oh, I don't pay much mind to Kwanzaa." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, well, because it's a completely made up tradition. Now, I don't seem to have a problem with making up traditions. It's what we do as humans. We make up ceremonies. We make up traditions. We make up customs. We make up things. Whether that is to create meaning or to create a pattern that helps us remember something across generations, or that helps us connect to something that is larger than what we are, that cannot be understood with ordinary words, or whether that is to help us cope or to pass on wisdom. Whatever the reason, we do make up things. Take, for example, the Christmas tradition. There's no biblical imperative for that holiday. We have no accurate details for the date of Jesus' birth. Evergreen trees, Yule logs, Santa, they are not part of his Aramaic culture. Yet we created a tradition to bring to life the idea of a birth of a new light in the world that, like Kwanzaa, gathers family and celebrates goodwill. Ceremony is powerful, you know. It can help us make leaps of understanding. I was thinking about a story of a wise healer that lived close to a village, and all the people of the village knew of her power as a healer. And it came to pass that a young man in the village had a very tragic incident in his life that caused him to suffer with a broken heart that he could barely recover from. So they sent him to the healer, and she listened to him and nodded, and she said, I could help you, but I don't think I can't, because the remedy is very complex. And he said, what is it? She said, well, you have to first collect 100 of these rare insects, and the thing is, they have to all be alive for the remedy. The problem is, they have a lifespan of only 12 hours. So she shrugged, and the young man, wanting to heal, went about his business. It took him months. And months was every time he got a few of the bugs. Some of them there died, and on it went. And finally, he came back in an urgent hurry. He said, I've got them. It took months. It took planning. It took focus and determination. And the healer took the jar and opened the lid and emptied them and said, and how is your heart? And he realized it had healed. We respond to ceremony. We respond to patterns. We learn through repetition. We deepen with structure and practice. You know that our own science of mind is just 100 years old. We're babies. Very new. And you can be sure we had to make up some things. We didn't come into this with an ecclesiastical calendar like other faiths have. We had to make up the way we do things, and we had to keep it open at the top, and we're still figuring it out. Keep it open at the top. That's difficult, to stay open at the top, especially when you and I find something that we like. We want to land there. Who wants to change that? So I want to take this moment to appreciate you for your patience and kindness with me while I have been exploring changes in the order of service. I was remembering the first time we introduced silent meditation. We had never done that before. We made it up. It was just 1 minute long. Oh, and it was met with such pushback. Woo! And then over time, we grew it till it was a full 5 minutes. Yeah. It became part of the most cherished experience in the service. So when we started to move things around, things got awkward and it caused some waves. So I want to let you know how much I appreciate your kind feedback. I also want to let you know that We're going to change it up again in January. Nothing radical, you know, just some reordering. It's a continuum, open at the top exploration. You know, it may be good. It may be bad. Who's to say? In other words, we're trying new ways. And, you know, we can always go back to the way things were. Except that we can't. Have you noticed? The good old days are gone. And the way things were are the way things were. And the brightness of the present moment is filled with potential and possibility, waiting for us to eke it out into the open, sometimes stumbling forward like a baby learning to walk. Now back to our exploration of other traditions. We're continuing this month looking at such things as the solstice and Christmas and Hanukkah. And this evening, Peggy and the Sunday evening conversation group, they welcome you, 7 p.m. in room 11, to discuss the rich tradition of Kwanzaa. Peggy has borrowed some of the symbolic items that go with the tradition from a friend of hers who is visiting with us today. And I think it promises to be a great experience and one that will keep us learning and open at the top. I invite you to take a deep breath in with me and to exhale, letting your eyes close for a moment of prayer. Let us each one, according to our own understanding, take a moment to silently recognize the Creator. Through this recognition, I realize my kinship with all of life. Through our shared life, which we call the living Spirit Almighty, which we call God's life, and which we know in an abstract way is perfect. And so I realize that my life is all about living in harmony, in sync with this spiritual perfection, so that more of it can be brought into form in this world of conflict and duality and ups and downs and rights and wrongs. And so I let my heart not be troubled, but I stay firmly rooted in the rock, on the rock of truth, in the soil, the fertile soil of consciousness. I let my faith grow and my understanding deepen so that I may be guided from within to do what is mine to do. I release everyone else from any obligation to be similar in their understanding to me so that I may take the position of honoring all paths, all inclinations, and all opinions as best as I am able. I celebrate the instruction from the wisdom traditions of the world, especially today, Kwanzaa, reminding me of the importance of focusing on values and family. And I welcome more insight from wherever it may be, so that I may honor this spirit that lives in me and all people. In deepest gratitude, I release this word of prayer into that aspect of the divine that we call the Holy Spirit, the law, so that it may be done. And together we say, and so it is. Once again, a deep breath in like this, and a sigh. It is time for our offering. So I ask the ushers to stand, and won't you please take your gift in your hand, or if you gave electronically, please place your hand on your chest or with your gift in your hand as a symbol of your heart connection to your center. And say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.